This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, we know that we are most joyous when we find our strength in you. So help us always to set our hearts on your pilgrim's way as we journey with your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. If you have been around South Florida for a while and you enjoy good gourmet food, you probably know of a restaurant that used to be in Boca called La Ville Maison. It was an incredible place. And I remember going there back in my corporate days, entertaining clients when somebody else was paying the bill. And they would serve this dessert that was to die for. It was a crepe that not only had this homemade raspberry sauce on it, but they made a souffle that they stuffed inside the crepe. It was amazing. I made it one of my bucket list goals that I was going to master how to make that dessert. And those of you who go back a few years here at St. Joseph's will remember the Italian dinner when I proudly announced that I was serving that stuffed crepe with the raspberry sauce from La Ville Maison that I had mastered. I was so excited to do this. There was only one problem. I forgot that there's a time in those Italian dinners when I have to go out and talk to all the people who are there about the cause for which we are raising the money for the dinner, and hence have to leave the sous chefs in the kitchen to take care of the preparations and serving of the dessert. And I forgot to give good instructions. And so the people that I left to take care of the preparations of putting those crepes with the souffle stuffed into the oven, I guess the only experience they had with stuff like that was making tacos. Because they closed all of the crepes like an empanada before they put it in the oven, hence preventing the souffle from rising. And after I gave this great description of the dessert they were about to get, I go back in the kitchen, and there's this beautiful raspberry sauce on top of flat pancakes. Tasted good, but it certainly didn't present itself the way I wanted to. I was so frustrated and upset, I ran back to the kitchen, I whipped up another version of the souffle, I got some more crepes, took the raspberry sauce, made a whole tray of this, and was very proud to run it out into the parish hall to discover that everybody had gone home. Save for one table. The Swaneys were there with their guests, and Beverly Warnke, St. Beverly, was sitting at a table, and at that time Beverly was in the office. She worked for me on the staff, and I put it down in front of her, and I said, "Beverly, you will eat this, and you will enjoy it." And she did. There is something about food that, to get the full experience and the enjoyment of the taste, it has to be presented well. I mean, how many of these food shows do we see now on TV that it's as much about the presentation of the food as it is the taste of the food? I would venture to say today, as we celebrate the feast day of the presentation, that it is as much about the presentation as it is about the taste and the flavor when we're talking about our spiritual journey. This feast day of the presentation, if you go back in the Episcopal Church or other denominations, at times it was called the feast day of the purification of Mary, because 40 days after she would have given birth, she had to go and present herself in the temple according to the Jewish law. Just as a male was born, 40 days after the birth, they had to be presented in the temple. And today is 40 days after Christmas Day. Hence, why we celebrate this on February 2nd, which for the first time since I think 2003, February 2nd falls on a Sunday, hence we celebrate it. But there was this whole thing going on with that idea of the presentation. And he is presented in the temple. When I think about our spiritual life, and we have presentation, and we have alternatively this feast of the purification of Mary, and I think they go together. There is no way that we can present ourselves with the light of Christ. There is no way that we can have an appeal to ourselves and others about this way, this life, unless we are purified. Unless we are living a life that is pure in all aspects. We hear purity and we jump to the whole sexual thing. It's a lot more than that. The way we approach our entire life in our journey. And if we are able to live that way, we present a gospel that is appealing, like that stuffed crepe with the raspberry sauce that people will be salivating for this to have it in their life. I want that. That looks really good. And if we can't do that, there's no way we can present it to ourselves or to others. So how do we do this? Well, the gospel today gives us a great example. We hear this incredible man by the name of Simeon. And we hear about Anna too. And we are told that this Simeon was righteous and devout. Now we know from a few weeks ago that this word righteous is an important one in the Gospels. It has to do with the fact that he is living his life according to the way God would have him live. If you want to look at the reveal study, if you're at the annual meeting we talked about, Jesus Christ is the center of our lives and everything that we do is based on how Jesus would have me live. Simeon is living as God would have him live, righteous and devout. That gets such a negative connotation in our day and age, but in its truest sense, devout. That his devotion to the Holy Book, his devotion to prayer, were such that it was enabling him to be the man that he was called to be. So let's look at Simeon a little bit and maybe what he teaches us about living that pure life. Number one, he lives life with a purpose. He has been waiting his entire life because he's been promised that one day he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died. It's his life's vision, his life's goal, his life's personal mission statement. He holds that child and it's basically says, okay, take me now, God. So I guess the first question we have to ask ourselves is this. What is our life personal vision, our personal mission statement? What is it that we are striving for such that if we ever got there and experienced it, we would say to God, take me now. I mean, sometimes you have that stuffed crepe and you'll say, this is really heaven, God. But there's got to be a little bit more to life than that. How many people get on the rat race and we hear, you know, they made it and they made it and they made it and they got millions and millions and millions and houses and this, that, the other thing. And then they put a bullet through their head because they got what they were striving for and they found out, well, that did do it for me. We get into the rat race and we end up winning and we just become a big rat. Bob Buford wrote this great book called Finishing Well. Perhaps you've read it. I recommend it to you if you are 50 years or older, because it's about the second half of life. Being optimistic, we're all going to live to 100. And it has to do with moving our lives from success towards significance. And how do we do that? So the question we ask ourselves is, what is your life mission statement? You know, Stephen Covey wrote that great book and a series of books about the 8 habits of highly effective people. And it has all this to do about having our own personal vision statement that drives the way we live our lives. Hopefully, we will have this one that keeps us going and going and going. It did for Simeon. Can you imagine having a vision statement, having been based on a vision for himself that he's going to live his life in such a way that someday he will be so pure that he will hold the Christ child himself? A purpose. Secondly, he lives with incredible passion. You know, he was waiting, but he wasn't just sitting still and waiting. Here's where the righteous and the devotion comes in, that he was continuing to do everything along the way that he was called to do. And I think that is the biggest trick for us in terms of being able to live, that we present a gospel that is attractive. How many times have you been to the cocktail party and you're trying to talk to somebody and they keep doing this because they are looking for the more interesting person who they're waiting to come in the door besides me? And we miss that interaction that could happen with that person. We have a goal and a vision, but we have to be present to our present reality in such a way that we end up finding the joy along the pilgrim way. That's why the psalm says that. We find our joy in the pilgrim way, not necessarily the destination, but along the way itself. Those of you who've gone on physical pilgrimage know this. There's as much joy and power and strength and holiness that we experience along the way as there is at the actual destination, in ways that we never thought possible. This is the way Simeon lived. It's the way we are called to live as well. And then thirdly, he lives with an incredible power. And it's a power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't possess the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit possesses him. He's living his life that God is in charge, that he's waiting for that moment. And it's not for him to decide or decipher when that moment is going to be, but he is waiting actively upon God. And that's not easy. And even he says to Mary, your own heart's going to be pierced with a sword, because he knows on her own pilgrimage journey, she's going to have a lot of sorrow because this wonderful baby she's holding, this is what will happen down the road, and you too will have sorrow, but you will continue to have the Holy Spirit taking care of you. And so this is what Simeon does. There's this great artistic representation of this particular presentation that I love. It's done by an Italian artist by the name of Giotto. You might have heard of him. He did a lot of the frescoes of St. Francis that you see posted around. He's got this great scene that he paints. And you picture this Simeon who's been waiting for years and years and years for this to happen. And finally, there's the Lord's Messiah. He must have been so excited that he's finally going to hold this child. And in the depiction of it, this baby is screaming bloody murder and reaching out, trying to get back to mommy, away from this scary old man with a beard. I think he's captured something very well there in that depiction of it. Because really, it wasn't really Simeon's life just this moment. It was really the way Simeon lived a righteous and devout life his whole life. And the way he presented in his own way a gospel that was pure and undefiled. This is what we are called to do. This is how we are called to live. we might not celebrate the presentation on a Sunday for a long time again. So perhaps this week is a good time for us to look inside our own hearts, see where God might be calling us to be living a gospel that presents itself in such a way that people will desire it more than that stuff great, and we will want it more as well. Amen.